from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good Lordy Lori, 7-7, pay no rent. Long, hot summer day. They're going to play all the bangers. I can't wait.
Are they going to play all the hits?
That's what we're told to do, play the hits.
That's right.
Just saying.
And the hits just keep on coming? Because I know it's so cliche, but you go to a concert and then they play all this new stuff and nobody wants it, and then the band gets booed.
Mm.
Know what people want, right?
What do people want when it comes to two athletes? Two athletes.
Well, depends on who they are.
Any time period. And a sport that they both played. Who would you want to see go up against each other? Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, 96.5 The Fan, your home for sports radio here in Kansas City. The evolution is real. Jump on before it sets sail. But I have a couple of names that maybe you guys might like to see. So two basketball players, two baseball players, two football players, can be same team, different team. The one that I came up with, because I'm a golf nerd, is I want to see in their prime. Maybe I should have added that as well.
Oh, I think that's assumed, right? Okay, you don't want to see Phoenix Cardinal Emmett Smith taking on
Terrell Suggs, Kansas City.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But what I will say is the one that came into my mind, shocker, it's golf.
Mm-hmm.
Prime.
You like golf?
Oh, going to be playing in about 3 hours. The one I want to see the most when it comes to two athletes in their prime,
I'll be sleeping.
I would love to see Tiger versus Scotty on a Sunday.
Oh, all right.
99 Tiger Woods versus right now Scotty Scheffler.
See, I would go 97 Tiger Woods.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, his prime was 96 to like 2007.
I don't know why 97 Tiger Woods rings out to me, but it just reminds me.
That's when he won the Masters by about 15 strokes.
Is that the year he did? Because I just remember watching it in college, sitting there going, my God, this guy's unbelievable. Yeah, give me another beer.
He was like 21 under in the next.
4-2-1-2-1-2. Give me a shuttle.
Yeah. But Tiger in his prime versus Scottie Scheffler, which is right now his prime, because you saw Jon Rahm just absolutely choke away the Olympics, and then Scottie Scheffler's like, check this out. Here comes my gold medal run. But Tiger versus Scottie would be insanely awesome on a Sunday. I would love to see that. Mm-hmm. We're never going to see it again because Tiger's just, it's over.
No, it's not. Now stop saying that.
Okay. Okay.
I am not letting go, brother. Because once Tiger Woods goes, who's the casual golf fan got? They got nobody. So I'm not letting Tiger go.
The other one I came up with that throws me back to the World Baseball Classic, I want to see Shohei Ohtani versus Bobby Witt Jr.
Okay.
I want to see that guy try to strike out Bobby Witt Jr. Now, what I'm going to see this year, I think I've been weird in trying to match this up when the Royals go to Pittsburgh. We see Paul Skeens versus Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, there's an opportunity, right?
There is a chance.
Right.
And then the other one I came up with is Larry Bird versus Steph Curry in a three-point competition.
Ooh, all right.
Because the greatest story I've ever heard about Larry Bird, thanks to Josh Vernier for this, is Larry Bird showed up to a three-point competition late. Everybody's getting ready to go in, all that sort of thing. Larry Bird goes in, doesn't say a word to anybody in the locker room. Doesn't say anything. I don't know if you've heard of this story. Mm-mm. So Larry Bird doesn't say a word. Everybody's getting ready, stretching, whatever. He shows up a little late, gets in the locker room, laces up his shoes, and then he looks around the locker room and he just goes, which one of UMFers is coming in second?
So good. So great, dude.
Oh, Larry Bird, the king of trash talk, man.
That is good.
And then there's another one. I forget who the player was, but it was a Christmas Day game.
Right.
And he went up to the guy and he goes, hey, I got you a Christmas gift. Remind me and I'll get it to you. And later on in the game, Larry Bird, late in the game, down in the corner against the opponent's bench. I forget who it was. I don't want to say it was Clyde Drexler because I don't think that's who it was, but I'll have to look up the name. But he hits a three to put his team up late, and he turns around and looks at the guy. He said, I was going to give him a Christmas present. He goes, Merry effing Christmas.
Yeah. Larry just Bird was like
the best. Dude.
I mean, if you watch Winning Time, you know, you really see what kind of player Larry Bird was, total sidebar. Why did that show go away? I don't understand why HBO canceled that one. That was a great show on HBO. For me, I want to see Lawrence Taylor versus Patrick Mahomes. I think Lawrence Taylor going after Patrick Mahomes and Patrick Mahomes trying to avoid Lawrence Taylor would be one of the greatest.
As long as it doesn't happen how Theismann happened. Keep that out of my mind.
But see, that's the way your mind works. I'm like, I think Patrick Mahomes may be Lawrence Taylor's kryptonite because Lawrence never faced a quarterback of that nature, right? All the quarterbacks he faced were these drop back passers like Ron Jaworski and Theismann and all those guys back in the day. I'd love to see Lawrence Taylor go after Patrick Mahomes. I think that would be really cool. One that I had an idea about yesterday as well was Wade Davis versus Bobby Witt, right? Like Wade Davis 2015 going against Bobby Witt 2024. Like, I'd love to see that matchup. I think that one would be pretty cool as well because I think we'd see a really, really, really stellar at bat by Bobby Witt. I don't know who would win that one in the end because both are so good in their primes at what they do, but I think that could be a fun matchup.
Who would you lean towards winning? Bobby Witt or Wade Davis? Well, ninth inning, two outs, tie game.
The numbers tell you it's probably the pitcher, right? Yeah. Because, you know, about 70% of the time, 80% of the time, the pitcher dominates and wins anyway. So I would lean, my money would be on Wade Davis in that, but that's not because I'm doubting Witt. That's just because I'm using logic and baseball numbers, and 30% of the time success rate means you're a Hall of Famer. 70% of the time you fail, that tends to lean towards the pitcher.
Dr. Mackenstein, do you have any matchups you'd like to see?
I mean, LeBron MJ, right? We all want to see that. We've all talked about it. But honestly, more than that, I'd want to see Kobe MJ because we've talked about it a little bit. Kobe tried to be the exact reincarnate of MJ. They're both the same size. They both do the same things. They both fly high. So that would be a very fun one-on-one matchup.
Kobe versus MJ.
Would be fantastic.
That's funny you bring that up.
Nobody said LeBron.
I said LeBron and MJ, but then I was like, really Kobe and MJ to me is more of a better one-on-one matchup.
I don't think LeBron would face off against Michael Jordan.
I think he would.
Because Jordan would beat him and then the debate's over.
I think the debate's already over. But I was thinking about this the other day. You think LeBron's better than Jordan?
No, I think Jordan's better. I just don't think the debate's over. I think more people think LeBron's better.
No, and that's why you don't do the matchup because it's the great sports debate. Who's better, Michael or LeBron? No question it's Michael Jordan. There's just no question in my mind that it's Michael Jordan. But I think Jordan would be like, yeah, I'll face off against him right now today in my 60s.
And
have that confidence that I'm going to beat his ass.
I know amongst my sports friends, I'm one of the few that holds my ground on MJ.
Yeah.
That's a generational thing, you know, and I'm surprised, you know, you being in your 20s, you lean towards Michael Jordan.
Well,
I
know ball.
Well, I mean, Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
We also had a discussion off the air that kind of grew some legs to it. So I want to bring this up to the text line as well. 913-586-7965. Everyone says I say that too fast. 913-586-7965. If there's one fictional place you could live, where are you living?
I'm living in Webster's house. He had a dumb waiter. I always wanted one of those. I always thought that was a rich person thing.
Like the Wayne Manor? Have Alfred?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but like a dumb waiter. You go downstairs, he used to ride that thing up and down. It was kind of fun.
See, I would live, and this kind of dates me, because I used to love this cartoon, Hey Arnold. His bedroom was the best. He lived in an apartment. Up in the top of the roof, had a glass ceiling. His bed was a couch that folded out.
Is there a metaphor there?
What's
the glass ceiling? Isn't that like you got to break through that glass ceiling or something?
No, but you could get out of it with a ladder.
Okay.
And all his friends always came over. He had a crazy grandma and grandpa lived with him. He had all these neighbors. But Hey Arnold's bedroom would probably be where I'd live.
Hey Arnold. Yep. You live in a cartoon?
Yep.
See, if I was going to live in a cartoon, it would be Scrooge McDuck's money pit.
Yeah, but when you jump in there, you got to remember that's gold coin. It's going to break your neck.
That's all right. It's gold.
Have you seen that Family Guy rendition of
yes,
that? Oh, it's so funny. Ah, it's not water. It actually is metal.
Yeah.
It hurts. Mac, you got a fictional place that you'd like to live?
Full House comes to mind.
Yeah, San Francisco?
Yeah.
Really? Full House? You like to live in that house?
Yeah, it's a good family vibe.
Uncle Jesse's always over there,
yeah.
Like rubbing it in, and he used to play for the Beach Boys, and he's super good looking.
Yeah.
I had a crush on one of the daughters when I was a kid.
Oh, everybody did.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah, that was my first, yeah, absolutely. But Uncle Jesse always got to, you know, he porked Aunt Becky a lot, man.
Yeah. And then she got in trouble.
She
with
got trouble. I think she went to jail for
she
a
did.
While, right?
She
yeah,
did.
She was behind bars.
She was.
Yeah. For like, what, hot minute?
It was like, what, because she was
she
like
finagled admissions at Stanford with her kid or something. They paid their way in or however
for
they
sure
did.
They did.
Yeah.
But no, you can chime in as well. 913-586-7965. Two athletes you'd like to see square off. We have some on the text line. Mike Tyson versus Muhammad Ali.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That would be really good, man. I don't know who would win that fight. I would lean towards Tyson just because he's so powerful. I don't think anybody had as powerful a punch as Mike Tyson. He had his own video game based on that. So I think I would lean towards Tyson, but I don't know the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. If you want to say Muhammad Ali, I'm fine with that. But I just think Tyson's power puts him ahead of Muhammad Ali. But again, I don't know. Muhammad Ali, you know, flies like a butterfly and stings like a bee. So maybe he doesn't get hit by Tyson.
Mahomes versus Ed Reed.
Ooh.
That's a great one.
Prime Tiger versus Prime Jack with modern clubs. And then somebody says Mahomes versus Rodgers. We've never seen it.
Is that really going? That's not kind of the one-on-one matchup, though, that we were looking for, right?
Nah, it'd be more so like Mahomes versus like Champ Bailey.
Yeah, right.
You know
defensive
mean?
Back.
Yeah,
yeah.
A good one.
Ronnie Lott.
Darrell Revis. Yeah.
LeBron versus Wilt, and then Nolan Ryan versus Roger Clemens. Or Nolan Ryan versus Robin Ventura.
I would take that matchup right now, and Nolan Ryan pushing 80 would still kick the crap out of Robin Ventura.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was one of the greatest things of all time. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. Andy Reid going away to camp, why it works, and Bo Nix, not Mac's guy, it's Bob's guy. We talk more about that on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey, executive producer. Bob Fesco, executive host. Dusty Likens, just happy to be here.
I like that.
Thank you. There's another Fesco, Fescoisms. That baseline. Shout out Mark Hoppus, cancer free.
Nice.
Mac's trying to get there.
Trying to get cancer free, Mac is? Is that what you said?
I'm feeling this. A song by Blink-182. Do you know what the song is about?
I don't get into that. Now, if I like a song, I like a song. I'm not a big, like, get into the meaning of song guy.
You're like my buddy Paul. My buddy Paul, who you met, he's like, yeah, you and your buddy Nick, you're just lyricist guys.
Yeah.
He's like, I like tunes.
That's kind of where I am. If I like the beat, I like the music, I don't care who sings it.
I think that's why I became so infatuated with Bruce Springsteen.
Because all his lyrics, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, because a lot of people are like,
I grew up in New Jersey. You had to like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, there's no choice.
Yeah.
It is 816 day. We'll get into another category here shortly. But Andy Reid and the Chiefs. I've said this, Bob, as long as I've done talk shows on radio, that I do think that one of the most important parts of why the Chiefs are who they are under Andy Reid is because of this explanation.
I know it's a small thing, but in some ways it's not, right? Like coming away to camp, and is this a part? What does it mean to you to go away to camp, and why are you still doing it?
Yeah, I think probably even more important now than it was before. The kids, they'll get on their cell phones and not communicate. They'll communicate through the cell phone. So here, they're eating dinner with each other. They're sleeping in the same dorm rooms and sharing bathrooms and doing all. You've got to talk, and you've got to communicate. You develop relationships. And for a team, the stronger that bond is, the more you respect the guy next to you, you go that little extra mile. So I like it. I mean, I like coming away and not the beds.
He was complaining about the beds.
Yeah, the beds, not so much. But, you know, it all ties in. And you kind of look forward to it.
I love how Andy Reid just cut out of my dad mode, went right to cell phones. Well, these kids are on their cell phones all the time, because this year in Olathe, they didn't do a cell phone ban, but you're like not allowed to have your cell phones now during class. And after the first day of school, my daughter's like, I can't believe it. What am I supposed to do? I'm like, I don't know. Pay attention to the teacher, right? Well, what about listening to music? I go, you're supposed to be paying attention to the teacher. But Andy's right. Like it is such a, and I hate sounding this way, but it's because we're all like it, but it's such a cell phone generation. And if you get these guys up to an environment like that at training camp, you get the opportunity to kind of bond, and you don't really do that much anymore. Obviously in football, they've, for most part, every team has gone away from having that kind of training camp environment. But I mean, if you're another team in the NFL, and the Chiefs are like winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl, and it's a copycat league, instead of going away from the training camp model, why wouldn't you look at the Chiefs and go, maybe them going to training camp does kind of lay the groundwork a little bit. Like, the players absolutely hate it. I feel bad for Allen Wright and Chris Shropshire, the equipment guys who have to load all that stuff onto the truck and take it up there and do all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But from a team bonding standpoint, man, like, it seemingly works, and they dread it and they hate it and it's miserable. But at the end of it, it's like one of those things, like, we got through it, man, it's going to pay off, and it's working for this team. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, they should have training camp here or whatever the case may be. And maybe eventually they will when, you know, Andy retires and we get a new stadium and a new practice facility and they build it to have the ability to house training camp and bring fans in. But I don't know, man. I kind of look at what Andy's saying. I'm like, that's a pretty good way to kind of look at it. Take the cell phones away from them, make them brush their teeth next to each other, and you become a team that way.
I would say that I not really can relate to this, but I remember when I was in high school, we had to go to Missouri camp for basketball. We stayed in the dorms in the summer. Sure. We stayed for a weekend. I mean, just a weekend.
Right.
But I mean, you got close to guys that maybe you thought you'd never talk to. Like, you would get to hang out with like the varsity guys, the JV guys. There'd be, you know, freshmen incoming to try to make the freshman team and sophomores as well. And whether it would just be playing video games or whether it was, you know, watching a TV or watching a movie, to, you know, whatever, you got to bond with those guys. And every once in a while you'd have practices where, you know, like, oh my gosh, that's like our best varsity player. And he's throwing me an inbound pass. I'm making a layup. It's like, you then like humanize yourselves around each other. Yeah. Right. It's like in any facet of life, but you're right. Like,
but that's where all the trust comes in, right?
Correct.
Like, okay, I can trust this guy. We spent time together in the dorm. We had these meals together. We didn't do things that were basketball or football related. We lived real life together for a while.
Right.
That's how you kind of develop that trust, and you develop those inside jokes, and you develop that rapport and that relationship. Like, that could be used in any workplace. I'm not a big believer in taking your workplace away for a weekend or something like that and going to, you know, eat ayahuasca like Aaron Rodgers did or something like that. But like,
drank it
or smoke it or however you consume ayahuasca these days. I don't know. But I think for a football team and for a team, like, there's just something kind of romantic to it as well, because you don't see it a lot anymore. Like, look at spring training. These guys all go away to spring training for 6 weeks at a time and spend a lot of time on the golf course and whatnot and form those bonds. And people in sports have told me over the years, like, you got to like that guy that's playing next to you, because you'll go the extra effort for that guy. Like, not everybody gets along, right? We all know that. And and you got a roster of 53 or 25. Not everybody's going to get along on those rosters. But if you make the effort to try to create those bonds, I mean, I've heard from so many people in so many different sports, like, you like that guy next to you, you are going to go for that extra effort. You're going to dive for that ground ball instead of just going ole, or you're going to go the extra effort to block that dude on the edge and said, nah, you know what? I lost this battle, just letting them go. Like, you really learn how to love your teammates. So Andy's got a good thing going on. He's smart about it.
He also talks about, because people are probably like, oh, you go to St. Joe all the time, it's just repetitive, it's the same thing. Well, Andy Reid would disagree.
The young guys, obviously, it's important. For some of the guys that maybe 8-10 year veterans, you got to try to keep it fresh. How do you do it for those guys?
Yeah, I'm not a big meeting guy where I stand up there and lecture the guys and do all of that. So if I can get it on a 3x5, if I can't get it on a 3x5 car, they're not getting it. And so they're not getting the same story over and over that sometimes you get with a coach that's been there a while. And then we try to change things up to a point. players like to kind of know where they're at and where they've got to go. I think we all probably do. So we give them that and say, listen, you take care of this. We're not going to take you out and run you extra or play games with you. We're going to work here, and this is what we expect, and this is why we're doing it. And I think guys handle that a lot better than you playing little games with them. And then it just keeps it fresh that way. They get in, they get out, they get their rest in and do the other parts of the game that are important other than the things on the field.
So keeping it fresh, very important. You don't want to get things stale because you think about everything. There are different waves of athletes that come in here, right? Like it's Luis Reese Zamet's first year in, you know, American sports.
Right.
And he's coming to the town of St. Joe. That, again, already is probably polarizing and mesmerizing to be like, wow.
Where the hell am I?
Right. But then you have a guy like Travis Kelce, who's probably one of the most famous athletes in the United States.
I think he's more than a famous athlete now. Like, he's a pop culture icon in the world, right?
I just say athlete because that's his trade. Yeah. But, like, you know, you look at, like, what he is, and he's like, man, I got to go to St. Joe again. But there's wrinkles along the way where he's like.
Travis Kelce's up in St. Joe, right?
Right. And it's just like, yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. And it's
Taylor's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, grow your hair out, please. I think it's sexy. But it's, you know, it's one of those things where like Andy Reid is so ahead of the curve of everybody else that he not only does the same thing every year in the same place with the same beds, with the same, which I did love that the beds,
bring your own mattress.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too, is that like, you do have to find ways to keep people tuned in just like, you know, radio. You can't just do the same show every day. You got to bring in different topics, different, you know, bits, different sort of things. And this is one of those things that I think is why, and I've always said this with St. Joe, and like, yeah, it might be annoying to some people that have to cover the team. You don't have to go, as you had mentioned earlier, but, you know, people go to cover the team. And, you know, this is why they are miles ahead of everybody else. You act like this sort of stuff doesn't do anything. And, you know, I always see this St. Joe trip, and I think about Remember the Titans, when they all are, you know, basically back then where it was like, you know, skin tone versus skin tone. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. Well, how do they divide? How do they conquer that? They put them all in together, let them get their, you know, aggression out. Let them get, then all of a sudden, like, we're a brotherhood. And then what happened? They went on and had their wonderful high school season. There's no doubt in my mind the reason the Chiefs have won so many divisions, why they have so many Super Bowls, why they have always have a winning record, always seem to be like a family and love each other. It's because it starts in July.
It does, yeah.
And it ends in February, and no other team can honestly say that with the consistency and the accuracy that the Kansas City Chiefs have. And I think that it does start with the core. And it even starts before that with Pat Camp when he goes down to Texas.
Yeah,
he
right?
takes all his receivers, tight ends, and whatever, running backs too sometimes, and gets them all on the same page. And then you roll that into St. Joe. And then by the time St. Joe's over, which it is, yesterday was the last day, now it's like we're already in week two of the preseason, and there's no chemistry questions. There's no sort of thing like that. It's just like, can we get these things down, which is, can we get ready for the next matchup, which is the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, and that's what they've said that before. Like, it all starts in July. Like, I know it sounds cliche, but when they win that Super Bowl, they talk about St. Joe. They talk about, you know, winning the Super Bowl in July and getting those little things taken care of. And you're in that captive environment, too. Like, you know, Andy's done a really good job of making them focus on football when they go up there. You have training camp and whatnot here, then the real life starts to creep in, right? Your wife, the kids, all of that kind of stuff that everybody deals with on a day-to-day basis. You go away for 3 weeks, you've eliminated those distractions, and these guys can focus on football and focus on their job and make sure that they're ready to roll for the season. But it also starts with the buy-in too, because if you're an ancillary player on this roster and you see Chris Jones buying into training camp, you see Travis Kelce buying into training camp, you see Patrick Mahomes buying into training camp, like, how could you sit there on that roster and go, no, I'm going to do everything these guys are doing? These are Hall of Famers. These are superstars. These are icons in the game and icons in life, and they're buying into going into St. Joe. Like, I think that matters too. Like, I jokingly said, Travis Kelce's in St. Joe. I guarantee you he loves St. Joe because he can just go up there and not have to deal with all the nonsense now of people finding out what he's doing, where he is, what's going on, all the paparazzi stuff. Like, he probably gets kind of zone out up there in St. Joe. Same with Mahomes, same with Jones, same with everybody. Like, it's a really good 3 weeks for these guys. And until it's not anymore, then you keep doing it.
Hey, Bob, guess what?
What?
Did you consider Brett for Miller?
Did Wilt Chamberlain or Danny Manning, have they reached out to Wiggins?
Jack, I'm a damn fool.
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Taylor Swift opened for Dirk Bentley in St. Joe in like 2008 or 2009 and trails west in St. Joe. She knows about the Joe. Just thought maybe you want to know that. And I wonder if Dan Kilgore is going to practice.
Yeah.
Well, you find things out through the text line.
Yes, you do.
Bo Nix, Pat Surtain the second. He's still a big Bo Nix guy?
I like the way he played the other night, right?
So supposedly he threw a no-look pass, so he's all in.
He's
so
all that, in, so yeah.
In practice. Yeah,
in practice.
I'm more in on Bo Nix because Mac doesn't like him now. So I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, I really didn't have – like, I thought he'd be decent enough because he's had some experience and whatnot. I'm kind of rooting for the kid because he brought a Whataburger truck, I think it was, up to Oregon for his teammates, and I thought that was really cool. So cool. Or maybe it was an In-N-Out truck. One or the other.
What a great guy.
Right? Like, he did that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of like this guy. And now that you don't like him, like, I'm now all in on Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Bob saw the first time he mentioned a compliment of Bo Nix, saw how wide my eyes got and said, yeah, I'll keep doing this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll keep this up.
You got Patrick Surtain complimenting him now, man. Like, that's the greatest cornerback in the NFL.
What's he supposed to say?
He doesn't have to celebrate and sing his praises. He could go, hey, he's a rookie. We'll see what happens in a real game.
Can we make a show bet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I can help the loser pay since I'm creating the bet.
All right.
If Caleb Williams has a better year than Bo Nix, you got to buy him a Caleb Williams jersey.
Define, I'll get it on Temu.
Statistically.
Like, but what are we talking about? We talking about more yards and more touchdowns?
Statistically.
Like, what
not if, record, just stats.
Okay, what if Bo Nix has more yards passing than Caleb Williams, but Caleb Williams has more touchdowns than Bo Nix, but also has more interceptions than Bo Nix? Or what if Bo Nix doesn't start?
He will start.
If he doesn't start, or if he starts, we'll take the games that he starts with Caleb Williams games that he starts and mirror them.
And
so we won't, do a whole season.
And if Bo Nix has a better season, you got to buy him a Bo Nix jersey.
I don't want a Bo Nix jersey, though.
Sure sounds like it.
Yeah. Do you want a Caleb Williams Chicago? Like, I'm not wearing that. I don't want that.
Really, yeah, I don't really.
You don't want that.
No,
that probably
really
sucks.
I really like Caleb Williams, but no.
Yeah, that's a terrible bet.
But
no, neither of us want that crap.
you guys are fanboys.
I just think he's going to be a good. It doesn't mean I'm a fan. Like a Bo Nix jersey. Mm.
I am a Caleb Williams fanboy. I'll admit that. I'm all in. I think he's going to be incredible. He's already showed all the stuff.
Yeah, exactly. He's done. He's showed everything. He's got nothing else to show.
I will say for Caleb Williams, he does do the Mahomes type of stuff.
Yes.
Boy. You're not letting me finish. That's what we call an interrupter. Mm-hmm. They're very rude. He does things more similar to Patrick Mahomes than anyone has ever shown. Not saying that he's going to be Patrick Mahomes, but when Kyle Wilson, or whatever that guy's name was drafted, Zach Wilson, when he was drafted, he was compared to Mahomes because he made one frickin' throw. Caleb Williams has done multiple things where you're like, he's got a little bit of that juice in him. Whether it's 10%, 20%, 30%, I don't know, but he does give the more glimpse that we've seen with more on record than we've seen from anybody else. He'll never be Mahomes. Mahomes is an outlier. He's an anomaly. He's a superstar times 1,000. But to give Caleb Williams a little bit of credit, he does do things that are more similar to Patrick Mahomes than any other quarterback we've seen, at least in the last 7 years.
I think this conversation goes to show you how desperate people are for quarterbacks in this league to be that next Patrick Mahomes. Because we literally have compared every draft pick, not we, but the people have compared like every draft pick to Patrick Mahomes. Who's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes? And I think that is such a waste of time for everybody because, number one, it creates expectations that nobody can live up to. You start calling Caleb Williams the next Patrick Mahomes like people have, what kind of pressure are you putting on a kid who's A, never played in the NFL, and B, playing for a franchise that's never had a quarterback before, right? That's a lot of pressure in a market that people are just like dying to have a quarterback in Chicago because they've never had one, right? So the pressure that's on all of these kids that come in, like, we just don't let guys be players anymore. It's like, because you're right, Zach Wilson did get Mahomes comparisons. Like, every guy who's drafted in this league, could he be the next Patrick Mahomes? The answer to that question is no. Stop putting that pressure on that guy and saying he is Patrick Mahomes, he could be Patrick Mahomes, this guy is, because you're setting yourself up for failure. But it also goes to show you how desperate and dire the quarterback situation is in the NFL, because there's about 5 or 6 quarterbacks in this league that are truly really good. The rest are all irreplaceable parts.
But also, to be fair, you've had this conversation for years when it comes to the hottest quarterback name. Like, when Mahomes got drafted, he was compared to Randall Cunningham and Brett Favre.
Brett Favre was the one. And that's a terrible comparison because now, Brett Favre was not as good as Patrick Mahomes. I mean, how many games did Brett Favre throw away? I mean, the last NFC championship game he played in, he threw it away.
Yeah, it's the backyard football thing. I will say, Caleb Williams, yeah, comparing anyone to Mahomes, you're right. It's a losing battle. I completely agree. But I think the...
I just hate doing that to the player.
Yeah, it's unfair to him. It's unfair to him.
Yeah.
I will say, Caleb completed four passes. Two of them were, the play is over, the defense has you, there's a 0% chance of a first down, and he did it. Mm-hmm. Which, that is the essential Mahomes thing. And I just think Caleb has that it factor. Also, really quick, Bo Nix clarification. He's not a first-round pick. He's not a second-round pick. He's not a third-round pick. I think he's a good backup. I just want to clarify.
He's a good backup quarterback.
He's a good backup quarterback.
Well, I mean, I think he's a better starter for Denver right now than what they have. But
Jared Stidham?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going out on a limb here with that.
He has to say, hot take.
Yeah. But again, like, I think, like, everything gets so distorted in the preseason. That's why when you were saying about, like, what are you looking for in the pre? Nothing. Literally nothing. Like, other than nobody getting hurt. Nothing. Because I just don't know how to judge preseason football, right? Like, I don't know what. Who are we playing? The Lions? What kind of effort are they going to be giving, right? When you're out on the field, even if it is the starters, what kind of effort are they really giving when they're out there, right? What kind of defenses? What kind of we just don't know. And I think there's nothing more distorting in sports than preseason versus the regular season, really in anything. We make all these judgments in baseball as well. Oh, my God, look at what they're doing down there. And then they get up to the regular season and nobody can hit their weight, right? It's the same thing in football. We watch these preseason games. Like Drake May last night with that 65-yard pass. Look beautiful. Beautiful pass. Needs to be caught in that situation. Are these guys rushing? Are they doing a three-man rush? Are they told to stay away from the quarterback? You know, we just don't know what's going on. That's why, for me, when I watch these preseason games, I'm not really watching for anything because I just don't know what teams are trying to accomplish and what they're going after and what kind of effort the opposition is giving as well.
Sometimes I feel like preseason is just... If it's like matches your preconceived notions of a player, like, see, I'm right.
Yeah.
And if
right.
Then, like, well, it's preseason.
Because we see guys all the time and in all sports dominate in the preseason. Every year there's somebody at Chiefs camp, right? Every year there's somebody that people fall in love with in every camp, in every city, on every team, in every sport that people fall in love with that never amount to anything in the regular season. So the preseason stuff for me, it's fine. You do your thing. Coaches get a lot out of it, I'm sure. You know, the film guy gets to edit all that kind of crap up. But, like, from a fan standpoint, how do you really know? And that's why when these games start on September 4th, 5th, whatever days we're playing games now, you start to see that you're like, I didn't see any of that in the preseason. It's a completely different ball game. So for Caleb Williams, for Bo Nix, let's see what happens after September and see where we're standing and see Bo Nix may not be playing. Caleb Williams may be a footnote. Who knows? Or Caleb Williams may be dominating and Bo Nix may be playing really good football. We just don't know what's going to happen once the real games begin.
We also didn't know that Connor Steele was going to be the camp player this year. The Gator King.
Right? Yeah.
Crocky J.
Yeah.
And then, of course, somebody had to be a thanks coach. Isn't honestly an alligator? Yeah, but I thought the name was cool. Like, come on!
Right.
Connor Smith, man. Or Connor Steele.
Connor Steele. Yeah.
Connor Steele is this year's Chiefs camp highlight.
He's the camp highlight
guy.
Carson
Steele?
Connor Steele, whatever his name is, right? That guy, and I hate to say this, that guy will probably not make the roster.
Oh, no, he is.
Okay.
That's a hot take.
I'll bet you $10 he makes the roster.
And if he doesn't make the roster and somebody else picks him up and then he scores a touchdown in week two, people will lose their mind. I can't believe Carolina's got this guy.
Nah, Connor Steele's making the team. Andy loves fullbacks. You have
We've already got that guy.
Who?
Luis Ramirez Zimmet.
No. Steele's making the team.
Yeah, I think he is too.
1,000%.
I'll double down on that bet.
All right.
Bob's going to owe us both $10. It is 816 day here in the 816 where I'm from. I know this is the 913 area, but coming back, we will give you another list of our 816. We'll replay that Eric Hosmer review for those of you that missed it that can't quite get up early enough. Come on now. This is 96.5 The Fan. That's Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. This is Fesco and Dusty.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Missouri athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
All right, we're back at it here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty. There's Dusty.
There he is.
Wandering around the studios talking to Cody. Cody's telling him, hi, I'm Cody Tapp. Do you know who I am? Do you want my autograph?
No, they were asking me ideas for the new Club 610 name.
Oh, Club 96.5, I would imagine, right? But I think you got to go retro and keep Club 610. People like retro.
They were saying 96.5 the dive?
No.
Like a dive bar?
No, you keep Club 610, man. You absolutely keep it. You're, it's a throwback. It's a way back. It's there for the OG. Like, you keep Club 610.
Is this natives?
No.
Oh, I thought this was from Neighborhoods.
I don't know. You guys know this song.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, this is AC/DC.
Yes, there. Thank you.
Pour some sugar on me?
Yep. Never understood that.
Really? You've never had anybody pour sugar on you?
Somebody says, Dusty, don't you have a barbershop, a bottle of whiskey? Stop betting. Stop telling me what to do. 816. I have the bottle. I just don't see Sean Barber all the time. I don't know how many times I'm going to bring this up. Sorry to get pissed off. I'm a Lannister. I pay my debts. I just don't see Sean Barber all the time. He's a busy man.
Drop it off.
No, it's a bottle of Blanton's. I think it'll disappear. I stole a suitcase.
No, not here. Go drop it off at his house.
No.
Yeah.
It's not my job to do that.
Well, you owe it to him, right?
Yeah, but I don't owe it to drop it off. And I don't know if he wants to tell me where he lives. He's kind of a famous person. He's private. He's a P1. He's a friend.
He's the best man on earth.
Also, it's almost football season. I'm sure he'll be up here at some point.
You'll see Sean Barber. I'm sure, yeah. Now that he knows he's got a bottle of Blanton's waiting for him, he'll come up here one morning and pick that up.
Literally, I'll have it for him. Now that I only work here, I can bring it and put it in my car.
Shop, text in, let us know when you'll be here. Not today, obviously, but, you know, Monday. Dusty will bring that bottle for you.
Yeah, he just invited me to play golf last week. I wasn't able to make it because I had other engagements.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when people tell you, you don't want to live there. It's hot.
How do you know?
Yeah.
I like how people can make decisions for everybody else.
Also,
dude,
don't tell me to stop betting. Listen to Vern's show and listen who's in the top five and getting people money this year.
I don't even get an opportunity to be on that show anymore.
Well, that's because you were terrible.
Because we didn't take it serious. And I was having fun with it, right?
And I'm not going to lie. I got kicked off the betting show last year, but this year I'm in the black.
You're doing well, huh?
Yes.
Good for you. Good
Thank
for you.
You.
Yeah, we were creating just random parlays, you know, like that would pay you $100,000 if it hit.
But what would have been awesome if you hit it once, you're set.
You're done.
You're done.
Hey, just won $100,000 because, Urseg hit a home run.
Yeah.
Right? Like, hey, if you can get those kind of odds, let's go, baby.
Wouldn't it have been great if you could have done that back in the day when Greinke was when playing? And, like, you'd be like, oh, Zach Greinke playing in the National League Stadium? I'm going to bet Zach Greinke hit a home run.
Yeah.
That'd be, like, plus, like, 1,000.
I know. Imagine what the odds would be.
Oh, I mean, easily. Well, Greinke, probably plus like 850 easy.
I don't think it would be as high as you think because Greinke could do it.
But he only hit like, 20 in his entire career?
I don't know that he even hit that many, right?
So, it'd be pretty high.
But I hate to say this, but, with a little juice involved, maybe Greinke's going, that's plus 1,000, screw it. I'm going to show you I can hit a home run.
Uh-oh, the boss is talking to Mac.
Oh, God.
Did he play too many words?
Uh-oh. Mac, focus on the show. Focus on the show. No visitors in the studio.
Is everything okay? The boss was in there. Everything's all right?
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. He's just wondering how to get me on the air more. He's like, bro, you just got to be talking more. We got to hear your sexy voice.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever heard Steve Inspector say the word sexy.
Or bro.
Yeah, that's true. We move on with 816 day right now, the third of the fourth. We're doing one every hour. The most iconic KC people from KC.
And it's amazing. One of the names that you have on your list, I was arguing with my father about last night. And I had no idea that it was going to be on your list today.
Okay.
And we were talking about, I don't know how the conversation came up, but Paul Rudd came up in conversation. Yeah. Oh, I know what it is. Paul Rudd's being inducted into the New Jersey Hall of Fame.
Oh.
And I said to my dad, I go, he's from Kansas City. And my dad goes, well, he's being inducted with I'll tell you who he's actually being inducted with because it's quite a who's who.
Tony Soprano?
No, he's dead and fake. But I think.
Gandolfini's
dead. Yeah. So Tony Soprano, though.
Well, we don't know. It went white.
He's going into the New Jersey Hall of Fame that includes Meryl Streep, Phil Simms, and Paul Rudd. And I'm like, Paul Rudd's from Kansas City. And my dad's like, nope, he's from New Jersey. I'm like, no, I don't think he is, but he was. He was born in New Jersey, then moved here at like 10 or 12 years old and had his formative years here and then obviously went on to KU. But that was kind of weird. I had no idea that Paul Rudd, I thought Paul Rudd was born and raised here in Kansas City my whole life, and or for as long as I've known the, you know, the Rudd family. But that's crazy that he didn't move here until he was about 10 or 12 years old. So it's really, just really weird that I was arguing with my father about Paul Rudd. So you can claim him. Jersey can claim him. Everybody's claiming Paul Rudd these days.
We
huh?
will erase Paul Rudd.
No, I think he's claimable. He went to high school here.
And we will put a different name in there.
He went to Shawnee Mission West. That that counts as growing up here. And went to KU. That counts as growing up here.
He wore a KC hat during the movie Clueless.
Yeah, he's a KC guy. So you could keep him on the list.
Tom Watson. Iconic.
Yeah. Watson, yes!
One of my favorite golfers of all time.
Right.
Masters winner. Open winner. Major winner. Great person.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsored by Polo. Still looks good at the age of 80 when he rocks a Polo quarter zip.
He's not 80.
I don't know.
Is he?
I bet he's up there. Because like,
well,
they
George is like 70 now, I think. So.
I mean, we can look it up.
I mean, my God, that just shocked the hell out of me when you said Tom Watson was 80.
I don't
think you're far off.
Watson,
though.
Yes!
He is 74.
Yeah, that's not far from 80.
Yeah.
My God.
He was born September 4th, 1949, so he'll be 75 the day right before the Chiefs' first game.
So he's the same age as my dad, so 75 years old.
75,
wow.
He'll be 75.
Damn, Tom is that old already, man.
5'9".
Wow.
Yep.
How about that?
Time flies. Eric Stone Street.
Great one.
Yep. Fan of the show.
Yep.
Had him on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
Gave us a very fun line. Gave us a very fun memory. I'll play it for you right now. When he talks about when he saw Mahomes in the locker room after the Super Bowl win.
After the Super Bowl, I was in the locker room, got to be in the locker room, and saw Patrick and gave him a hug and said, congratulations, man. He didn't say thank you. He didn't say awesome. He said, oh, we ain't done. Mm. And I just think
goosebumps.
That is the mentality. No moment of like acknowledgement with me of like, thanks, man. Thanks for, you know, and he was like, oh, we ain't done. Mm. And I just stood there like, this is our quarterback. In this moment, he just won the Super Bowl, and all he's thinking about is winning another Super Bowl.
Love to hear that.
Mm. It's like me when I finish a drink, I'm thinking about my next drink. Patrick Mahomes is thinking about his next Super Bowl. That's why I'm not a quarterback.
I always say that same thing about sex. Third one, David Cook.
That's a good one, man. I like that one. That's a good awesome one. That's a fun one, man.
Shout out Blue Springs.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
What's wrong with David Cook? Someone leave a light on.
That's a good one. That's a big
American
deal
Idol
when he
winner.
Won American
it's
Idol,
huge
man.
Deal. They yeah, put his damn awesome. Name on a sign on I-70 outside of Blue Springs. It said, home of David
that's
Cook,
right.
American
yeah.
Idol winner.
Yeah.
That
that's
sign
big.
Is no longer there.
I was going to say, I don't think that's there anymore.
Been
is
down
it?
For about 10 years.
Why?
I don't know. I guess he just outlived his sign. I don't know. I have no idea.
Or maybe people are going, now, who's David Cook? You know, 10 years, 15 years later or whatever. But no, that's a good one. I like that one. That put yeah. Kansas City on the map in a big way back in the day.
Yeah.
I have three.
Okay.
Number one on my list is Roe Bartle, the former mayor of Kansas City. And I put him on the list because he brought the Chiefs here to Kansas City, right?
Fair
he
enough.
Was he's responsible for bringing the Chiefs here to Kansas City. The next one on my list, Kay Barnes. Without her, downtown Kansas City is not what it is today. She is the matriarch of this city. She is the matriarch of downtown. It is her vision to get the Sprint Center built, to get power and light built, to revitalize downtown.
Mm-hmm.
She's on my list. And then Ewing Kaufman is the third person on my list when we talk about the most iconic people from Kansas City, because Ewing Kaufman's fingerprints will be felt all over this town for generations to come. Like, Ewing Kaufman's been dead since 1993, and here it is, 2024, and people still talk about Ewing Kaufman and the impact that he had on this community every single day. There's a lot of people that work for Marion Labs that retired as millionaires because Ewing Kaufman helped people and set them up. The foundation that he has, the Kaufman Scholars that he developed, like everything that we see in Kansas City is like a direct descendant from Ewing Kaufman. So those are my three iconic ones.
816-8, chime in, 913-586-7965. Your most iconic people from Kansas City. Still, mm-hmm. they might have missed the list.
Sudeikis?
Sudeikis
could be on there as well. Yeah, that's a definite good one, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Kirstie Alley?
She's Wichita, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a 316.
Somebody says, Danny Carey, drummer from Tool, is from Paola. Iconic to me, metalheads.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Little payola action going
Isn't
on.
Tool's lead singer name like Mater? Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Fesco and Dusty. Brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented IQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. We dive back into the Royals versus Cincinnati.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Series that starts tonight, plus a mandatory rule that they're trying to implicate into baseball, and I absolutely hate it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.